It's time for Talks About Tech Weekly, episode 39. Hello, you're very welcome to Talks About Tech Weekly. I am your host, Michael McAndrew. This is episode 39 of Talks About Tech Weekly. Today we have some very interesting topics to talk about, and I am joined by Dara Coughlin. It's the third or fourth time you've been on now, so welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining me for today's show. I know you were in the studio earlier on.
I love that new intro.
Yeah, I like it as well. I got it off in Computech. So, how are you?
I am good.
Yeah, you were in the studio earlier on. And first time live in the studio. What do you think?
Wow, it's complicated. It's a really big setup, really.
Yeah, it's quite big. All right, but... okay, well, we might as well
It's really fun. Don't get me down. It's really fun.
Yeah, well, we might as well actually talk about tech.
By the way, the lower third says 22nd of July.
Oh, I forgot. It's episode 36. Okay, I better fix that.
It is the 26th of August.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So, okay. Okay. 26th of August. That's way out of date. Let me change that. Okay, so on the fly. First thing we have to talk about is Apple versus Samsung, really. I mean, I don't really like talking about court cases because this isn't a law show. It's a technology show. But this is... So far, the technology court case of the century really is battle of Apple versus Samsung. So, really, the verdict of this court case... Let me explain a bit about this court case, because we haven't talked about it on Talks About Tech Weekly. I've kind of been avoiding it. Apple has sued Samsung for $2.5 billion over design, patents, infringement on their... kind of copying their iPhone, and also they have patents on like their icons and things like that, and they were accusing Samsung of copying, so with their TouchWiz interface. So unfortunately Samsung has lost the case. Well, I better not say unfortunately, because you see, some people will have this debate. Some people were going for Apple and others were going for Samsung. So we're going to have a bit of a debate on that. Samsung has lost the case and they owe Apple now $1.49 billion, which is, it's not as much as the $2.5 billion that Apple wanted. But, you know, $1.49 billion is still a lot of money. Now, They got Apple for design infringements, the iPhone icons. Now, I'm not sure how you could patent the design of icons. I've never come across a patent on the design of icons. I haven't. I mean, I've seen copyright, but I haven't really seen...
If it's Apple, they'll copyright anything.
Right.
Apple copyrights literally anything that can be, like, copied.
Yeah, I mean, this is what a lot of the companies do. They...
Apple are too unprotective.
What they do is they build up this big pile of patents so that they can use it for defense. So if someone sues them, they can get them on another patent and then they don't have to pay any money. Someone in the chat room is asking, or Johnny in the chat room is asking, what TouchWiz is. TouchWiz is the Samsung skin for Android. So, you know how Android on a HTC phone looks different to Android on a Samsung phone? That's because they have different skins on them. So, it's Samsung's flavor of Android. That's exactly it. And so they got, you know, sued over that infringement on Apple's patents. And Apple doesn't have to pay a penny. All the patents that Apple had were found valid. All the patents in the court case were were valid. So Apple actually lost out some in some places, like they asked for $2.5 billion and they only got $1.49 billion, which is still a lot of money.
Yeah, that's still basically...
Apple said they said they accused Samsung of invalid patents, which they lost. All of Samsung's patents were proved valid. They also gave some antitrust claims and other stuff, which unfortunately I don't understand because I'm not a lawyer. But if I did understand, I would go into a bit more detail. But unfortunately, I'm not a lawyer, and it's quite complicated stuff.
Yeah, it's not exactly a tech story, but since that involves tech companies,
yeah,
it's kind of necessary talking about.
Yeah, well, Dara, are you happy about this verdict?
I think Samsung should have. See, I'm not too into law, and I don't really kind of care, but I think Samsung should have won because Apple are a bit overprotective of their patents and they deserve to be broken just once. Honestly, just once.
Well, you know, it was looking that way. Kind of some way down the, you know, at the beginning of the case, it was looking that way because the judge was saying, hang on, you can't patent icons and things like that. And
I know, but if you look at the screen on the original Galaxy S and you look at the original iPhone, the phone icon looks the same. It's just a flipping icon.
I know, but Apple did have the patents on that and it did look very like the iPhone icon.
Yeah, it looked like it. So what?
The judge made... this is something I found very interesting about the, you know, how the phone icon looks very similar.
Yeah.
Apple said, or the judge said, hang on. What does the color green stand for? It stands for go, right? Pretty much every single phone has a green icon for picking up the phone, right? For calling or picking up the phone, right?
Exactly.
So you can't put a patent on that, and you can't accuse Samsung of copying the phone icon. But obviously, the icons just looked too like Apple's icons.
I have a Samsung phone, and the phone icon is... Just let me get it here. Right there at the edge.
Yeah. And it's just like a normal phone icon. It's got a green background, and it's got a phone on it, you know?
Exactly.
Well, anyway. What I'm more interested in is what we learned about the two companies, so the actual tech behind it, because... Without this court case, we would have never found out some of the things that we found out about Apple and Samsung. For example, we found out about the device sales in the US because we got global sales of the product, but we never got like specific US sales of the product. So Apple and Samsung had to give away that. I also saw loads of Apple iPhone prototype images, which was very, very interesting to see what kind of prototypes they had and what were the images and the ideas that Apple had, because we would have never seen them if it wasn't for this court case, because the judge specifically said, if you want to go ahead with this court case, you have to be committed to give away that information. And... So that's what happened there. We also found out, which is very interesting, Steve Jobs, you know how Steve Jobs said, oh, 7-inch tablets are never going to be a success. People don't want 7-inch tablets. It's just too small of a form factor, right?
He was wrong.
Well, yeah, but they found an email saying, it was an internal email saying that, now, this isn't a direct quote or anything, so don't quote me on this, but it basically said that the guy said that he talked to Steve Jobs about it and that they were thinking of going ahead with a 7-inch tablet because it's a good market to get into. So, obviously, maybe his public opinion was different to his personal opinion on this. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's just interesting, you know, you'd never find out this stuff otherwise. And, I really think that's some very interesting things. And being honest with you, I was really rooting for Samsung.
Because Apple just need their butts kicked just once.
Well, it's not
get off their high podium.
It's not that for me. For me, what it is innovation. You know, everybody copies off everybody. Apple has copied off people. Like the most recent is Android. With their iPhone, they have the notification center on their iPhone, which they took from Android. They also have, what else do they have? They have taken, you know, in Mountain Lion, there was an application that had that notification center. It was a notification center application for Lion, and Apple have taken it looks very similar to the notification center application that was made by a third-party developer for Lion. So they're, you know, Apple have copied as well as the companies, you know? And, like, there's great things that have been copied. Like, a company would come up with the capacitive touchscreen, like what's on the iPhone, and you don't want Apple to be the only manufacturer to have that touchscreen. I mean, you want...
They're just gonna make it for all it's worth. Yeah, and then another person implements it, then...
Yeah, you want other companies to be able to take advantage of that touchscreen so that you have competition.
From the very start.
Yeah, so you have competition, you have other phone manufacturers who will use that technology and improve on their things. So I think maybe Samsung mightn't take the risk of possibly infringing on patents in the future. And that could stop them making a great product. But... I don't know. That Samsung, they came out with a statement afterwards, and this isn't a quote or anything, but they basically said that this is bad for the consumer because we won't be able to make as cool of a product for you, basically. That's in summary what they said. And that's why it's bad for the consumer. That's what they were saying. But, you know, that's why I wanted Samsung. I was kind of rooting for Samsung, but... Apple were in the right because they did have those patents, you know. You can't argue with that.
It makes you think.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of the law. The law stuff. This is the tech show.
That's our yearly dose.
Yearly dose of the tech of law.
Wait until there's another court case of whatever, like Oracle and who else?
Oh, Oracle and Google.
Yeah, Oracle,
yeah,
Google.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. I didn't really do much coverage on that. But I was kind of wondering where Kodak were recently. I kind of...
God.
Yeah, they went bankrupt in January of this year, and I didn't really hear of the news. It's very sad news because Kodak, they did kind of analog stuff for the old film cameras. They did film... And,
yeah, they were a very good camera producer in the film age, and then
they were founded in actually 1889, and the whole idea was that
they were one of the first mass produced camera companies.
Exactly, so they were the first. They really wanted to get cameras to the masses. They really wanted everyone to be able to access cameras and use them, and that's what they did. So. Unfortunately, they filed for bankruptcy. But what they're doing now is they're selling off all their kind of legacy divisions. So there are kiosks for photo printing. They're photo printing paper. They're selling all that. The kind of the formula behind it. They're selling that off. And pretty much everything from the legacy division. So, that's what made them such a rich... company in the first place. So unfortunately they are gone. So Dari, you were telling me earlier on that you actually, your family used to have a Kodak camera.
They did back
in the day.
Yeah, it was in around 2000 or 1999. It was a good old film camera that I used to use for auto camera shots. It was one of the, it was very, I saw it the other day. It's a very thick camera. It's so big, chunky, and thick.
You still have it?
Wow, it's big. Yeah. We still have it in a real big camera case.
Does it work?
No.
Oh, unfortunately.
It's long gone.
Yeah. I mean, we always used... We have a film camera somewhere. But we always used Kodak films. You know, Kodak were doing very well. They were doing very well in... You know how they, in Photoshops you could stick in your SD card into this machine and you could get your photos printed on proper printing paper? That did actually very, very well.
Yeah, they're because still it's actually going in
high
quality.
Yeah, it's very high quality printing paper. I suppose what they did was they kind of just sold the machines. So that's going to continue.
Yeah, it would be still branded Kodak, but they'd be owned by and managed by a different company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, we are going to talk a bit about an up-and-coming conference that's on every year. It's a European conference, because most conferences actually these days are held kind of in America. Well, tech conferences. This is IBC, which is an annual kind of everything technology conference in Amsterdam, mostly kind of focused on podcasts, interestingly. You have companies such as Canon, which, you know, they're the camera manufacturers. They do consumer DSLR cameras, point and shoots, and they also do the high-end video cameras for television studios. I have a Canon camcorder right here, the Legria HF4205. Which is a great, 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 great camera. And I'm hoping to use this camera in the future because the quality is very, very good off it. And Blackmagic are also there. Have you heard of Blackmagic?
I have heard of Blackmagic. They are so good.
Yeah, so they kind of make affordable video production gear. I mean, they do the... So you might be wondering how you can take a camcorder into a computer. What you actually do is you can use the HDMI cable, like what you plug into your TV, off this camera and use a special card for your computer to plug it into your computer. And it uses it, it detects it as like a webcam, like what I'm using right now. And you can use a professional camera. I mean, it's brilliant gear. Then they have production equipment, video switchers. They have DaVinci Resolve, which I think is free, open source. Well, I'm not sure if it's open source, but it's definitely free color correction software for video, if you're interested in that. So Blackmagic does a lot of cool production stuff. Audio Technica.
They're good.
Audio
Technica.
They're going to be there as well. Great. They do headphones, microphones, all sorts of phones.
Yeah.
They don't do mobile phones, though. Texas Instruments. They do silicon chips. They made the first digital watch. I mean, Texas Instruments, you mightn't have heard of them recently, but back in the day, they were very popular, and they make... lots of stuff. I mean, there's probably a Texas Instrument chip in probably every computer. Yeah, they're doing very well. AKG, they do headphones and microphones as well.
Yep,
they're going to be there. Yamaha, not Yamaha bikes.
No.
Yamaha electronics.
They do everything. Yamaha do everything.
Audio mixers and everything. Yeah.
Like keyboards to mixers to snowmobiles. Like,
yeah, they do a lot of music, audio production stuff.
Yeah,
and music.
But they make snowmobiles too.
Yeah, they make a lot of stuff.
A lot.
It's kind of like Sony. Sony movies. Sony electronics.
Sony movies, electronics. What else? I don't know.
PlayStation. Well, that's kind of considered electronics.
That's Sony Computer Entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of companies here. So this is a pretty serious conference. And you can expect a lot to be announced. We'll be covering everything that has been going on. That's on from the 7th to the 11th of September. So we're going to be checking that out. Well, not next week. Next week it'll start. It'll be starting. So in 2 weeks' time, we'll be seeing the results of it, and if there's any new products released, we'll be talking a bit about that. So that's going to be something that we should keep our eye on. And I really am looking forward to seeing what IBC has for us this year in Amsterdam. And it's a free conference, by the way, so you don't have, you can register, you know, you don't have to pay big fees to get into the conference or anything. So if you're,
let's fly to Amsterdam.
If you happen to be in Amsterdam at the time, you know, just pop in.
Pop in.
So this is something I'm very, very interested in because, well, let me explain what it is first. This is an Amazon press conference. So Amazon have announced that they're going to have a press conference on the 6th of September, just coming up this next, well, in 2 weeks' time, really. And so what will be announced? We know that Google have recently released the Nexus 7 tablet, which has really done very, very well. I mean, and the Kindle Fire tablet has been doing so well up until the Nexus 7 tablet, and everyone's gone buying the Nexus 7 because it is
better.
It's got better resolution, it's got camera in it, it's got a full-blown Android. It hasn't got the Amazon skin.
It's got the latest everything.
It's got the Play Store rather than the Amazon Store. It's got everything, right? Everything. So why would you go and get the Kindle Fire? So hopefully, if they do come out with a new Kindle Fire 2, I'm saying that in quotes, because I'm not sure what the name of this device is going to be, but if they do come out with a Kindle Fire 2, I'll call it, are the improvements going to be enough to beat the Nexus 7? Now, Dara, I have a question for you. What would it take Amazon to do to make the Kindle Fire a better deal than the Nexus 7? For, in your opinion, what would make you go out and buy the Kindle Fire over the Nexus 7 if they had to make improvements?
I would... There's not a lot of stuff really you can say. Like, maybe make a slimmer tablet, make it smaller. And,
I would say a camera, because the Kindle Fire doesn't have a camera. A better screen.
A camera, of course, better screen.
I mean, everything
that it has.
Yeah, even at that, though, that Amazon skin. I mean, I really do like the pure Android experience with being able to access the Play Store. But Amazon are never...
Google will license the full-blown Android experience to Amazon, because...
It's not that. That's not actually what it is. What's happening is that Amazon don't want... They have Android on there, but they have a limited version of Android on there, and they have done it for a reason. They have limited Android, and they've put their own skin on it, because they want everyone to use the Amazon App Store for their apps. Now, the Amazon App Store has a lot of apps to choose from. It has Angry Birds and all those very nice applications. And there's a lot of apps that are on the Amazon App Store. But the Play Store has so much more of a selection. And the Amazon App Store is more like the iPhone App Store, where it's kind of, you know, you have to put your application through, Amazon have to kind of approve the application. So that kind of gets rid of any bad applications there, but you still want to have the Play Store. And Amazon are definitely not going to give you the option to have the Play Store. That's just not going to happen, because they actually make the Kindle at a loss. Where they make the money on is the content that they go that goes
the
with
content
the Kindle.
Is where the money is. It's like printers. They sell the printers for whatever, like €50, €40, and then they make all the money in the ink.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So,
because the ink costs, for our printer, we have a Canon printer. It costs a fortune to run. For black, it's 33, and for color, it's 40.
Yeah, it's crazy. But and then you buy the printer, and you know you can't really get out of it, you know. So
it's like petrol is just it's at a price where some people might even afford to run any car.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
because one tank of petrol from our car, from full to empty, costs €115.
Yeah, it's very expensive. So Now they make a loss on the Kindle and the Kindle Fire. So even the Kindle e-reader they make a loss on, and then they make the money up on the books and on the content, which is very interesting. So they're not going to allow you to get access to the Play Store because they don't make any money off that. The content is really where they make their money. And the fact that it's that bit limited, even if the specs are so much better than the Nexus 7, I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. So they're rumoring a 7-inch and a 10-inch Fire. Now, if the 10-inch Fire was at a very competitive price, if it was like $200 for the 7-inch and $300 for the 10-inch, that would be a brilliant deal. I mean, that would definitely take from the iPad.
Because the iPad's like $500.
Yeah, I mean, if they had it for $300, if they had it that competitively priced, it would definitely punch a hole in Apple, maybe. Because, you know, the Nexus 7 is a 7-inch tablet, so it's a bit smaller. You don't get you don't get that big screen. So if Amazon did come out with this 10-inch tablet for $300, which I'm thinking $350, $400 maybe. I don't know. If they're not going to make a profit on it, I would say $300. But if they do want to make a profit on it, then
$400 maybe. $350.
Yeah. I mean, $400 is probably going to be the price realistically. And then it's nearly up at iPad price, so you might as well just go on and buy an iPad. But $300. So if it was $300, if it was $300, would you buy it, Dara?
It would depend what it would contain. Like €300, it would depend if it's got really good reviews, better screen, camera, all the stuff that all the improvements instead of just like the improvements of, what would you say, like very minor. If it was worth the price.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very interesting, but the thing that's being rumored the most is maybe an Amazon smartphone.
Ooh, this is what gets me going the most. An Amazon phone. An Amazon phone! God, they start off at retail. Internet retail.
This is interesting. Then
yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting.
They're expanding their market.
Amazon, this is just a complete kind of a redesign of a restructure of Amazon. Well, it's not complete restructure, but it is a restructure because Amazon started off selling ebooks. Then they started off, and then they changed to kind of selling all types of goods, from jewelry to electronics to pretty much anything.
Pretty much every single damn thing.
I mean, like anything. And then they came out with the Kindle ebook reader. So you can use the Amazon Kindle store to look at books. And then they came out with the Kindle Fire, which is like a tablet. It's a content device. So you can get Amazon like videos, books, apps. I mean, all sorts of media and content. And then in the meantime, they were bringing out a service that allows you to store content in the cloud. S3, wasn't it called? Amazon S3?
Amazon's content?
I think
don't.
It was called Amazon S3. And where basically you pay for a certain plan, right? And you could download so much content. Or you could upload so much content and you could host that content. So let's say you had a podcast. What you could do is you could put your podcasts up on Amazon, the Amazon content, we'll just call it Amazon content stuff. And
content stuff. Just stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's nuclear launch codes, it's just stuff. It doesn't matter if it's deleted.
And they'll give you the URL and you can put it up on your website. So if your website isn't like an unlimited plan or something like that, then you could use that Amazon to stuff to store.
I've honestly never heard of it.
No, that's, yeah. I mean, it is quite expensive, though. That's the only problem. It's really high speed, but it is quite expensive. So.
It's like SSDs.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've had a real... And now a smartphone? I mean the Kindle Fire.
It would have to be
maybe
a 10-inch
Fire, maybe a smartphone. Okay. It would definitely have to be reasonably priced. If it was $100 unsubsidized, so not on bill pay, with like a 4-inch screen, if it was like high enough end hardware, like a dual core processor maybe and a 4-inch screen, then I would definitely go for it because I've been waiting to upgrade my phone for a very long time and the phone prices are just so expensive unsubsidized. Right? And Amazon, they're not really focused on making a profit on the device. It's all about the content. So they'll give you a highly subsidized device so that you use the content. That would definitely be worth it for me because now they'll probably do it unlocked rather than going to carriers in Ireland, like O2, Vodafone.
Well, most phones here are unlocked. Most phones, because there's...
Yeah. But you pay a bit more to get the unlocked version.
A bit more, not much.
I mean, well, like €20
the iPhone
more.
You buy the iPhone locked, but that's really it. And you can unlock the iPhone by just putting a foreign SIM in it and plugging it in your computer and restoring it. That's really it.
Yeah, you can get the unlocked version of the iPhone as well. You can buy directly from Apple and things like that. And it's the same price, really. Yeah. So, what would be the thing for you? So, what would really, if Amazon came out with this phone, what would they have to do to get you to buy it? Amazon, I hope you're listening.
They would have to put a coating of butter on it.
Would you mind?
Show title. No, like as in, no.
Would they?
Project Butter. Make it really, really smooth and buttery. Make it not lag. Basically do the jelly bean because that's a big problem.
Now, Amazon, in order to get this $100 or €100 price tag on the smartphone, they're going to have to put the Amazon skin on it. That's the whole point, that they make all the profits off the App Store and the content. So would you mind having that Amazon skin on it? I mean, it's a nice... I mean, they do a good job.
See, the one on the tablet is all right. It isn't the most intuitive of things, but it does the job.
It is very simple, though, to use.
Yeah,
but the problem is it's maybe too simple for Android, because most Android users are kind of, you know, they like hacking. yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see... If they do come out with a smartphone, what? I mean, it does make sense for them because they're going down the content. They really want to make money off the content. And getting at the smartphone market, they will definitely boost it. I mean, really boost it. It's a very good idea. What were you going to say, Dar?
Their apps would have to be not so highly priced that they're rip-offs, but high enough as in like high enough Apple. Like,
well,
you know what Apple's products
What happens is third-party developers make the apps, and then...
Coded in Android, because that's what it ultimately is.
Yes, and then you submit it to the... Yeah, so you submit it to the Amazon App Store then, and Amazon take... Amazon take, like, 30%... They do. I mean, they have Angry Birds, and a lot of the applications...
Angry Birds is on virtually everything. And it's been out for quite a while anyway.
Yeah. Then Amazon take a 30% of the profits that the developer makes off the device, just as the iPhone App Store would do, you know? Like Apple, they take 30% of the cuts. And they'll make a lot of money off that. They do the same with ebooks. They do the same with selling merchants, selling products on... on Amazon.com. So, you know, that's where they make all the money. Sorry?
If they had the Play Store, the Google Play Store, it would be good. If it ran really foodly, if it had all the medium to high end specs that you'd expect with the phone.
They'll never do it though.
Yeah.
They'll never have the Play Store on it though. Of course you can root it and all that, but that's not really fair.
I know, but they can ask Google if they can do their or if they could integrate the Play Store and have their own kind of just lightly flavored version of Android instead of very heavily flavored with all these sweet toppings.
The thing is, Amazon, it's not Google who aren't allowing Amazon to use the Play Store. It's Amazon who doesn't want to use the Play Store.
Oh.
Yeah, because Amazon make money off the Amazon store, the Amazon app store, right?
Oh.
And they don't make money off the Play Store. So what they want to do...
Sorry for that little error.
No, that's fine. No, it's no problem, because most people are probably thinking the same thing. So thank you for correcting me on that. But it's Amazon who... They don't want the Play Store because they don't make money off the Play Store. They want everyone to use the Amazon store so that they can make money. Because, in fairness, they're making the hardware at a loss. And the only way they can make money off is the software. Content. Like the apps, the videos, the movies, the books, everything. And it's a great role model. I mean, they're making such they're making so much money. They're making a lot of money, and it's really working for them. So, last story of the episode, and it is quite a sad one at that. Neil Armstrong has died at the age of 82. So, the family released a statement about his passing, saying that he passed away following complications resulting from cardiovascular procedures, so a heart operation, and obviously he kind of went a bit bad. But so Neil Armstrong, I mean, probably everybody knows who Neil Armstrong was, and he really. He was the first man on the moon, which is an absolute incredible thing to do. And the fact that one of the most famous things is what he said when he was about to go onto the moon, and he said, "One small step for man." Yeah. And then the static crack. "One giant leap for mankind." And I mean, it's just, that's all he said. I mean, it was a pretty good thing to say. And he said that he didn't even think about it. That's just what he said.
It's one of the most famous quotes of all time. It's probably one of the most said stuff about things.
Yeah, so he was really an incredible person. And, it's very sad to see him passing. I mean, he did so much. And... You know, everyone's saying, I saw an interview with them, and they were saying, what's about all this controversy about the moon landing was faked and all this? Well, this is what he said. He said, you know, sometime in the future, people will be going up to the moon, and they will find that flag we put down there. They will find it. That's what he said, you know? Mm. So,
and they probably will, because I don't know why people think that's fate.
I mean, all of the conspiracy theories that people have been saying are very easy to answer. I mean, they're very easy things to answer. And, I mean, why would... I know it was like... They were kind of fighting... the US and other countries were kind of fighting to get to the moon and all that, but what you should do, thanks Kevin, for saying that. You should watch Space News Today, which is another podcast on the network, recorded live every Monday at 8:30. You should watch episode 1 of Space News Today, because Kevin talks about, yes, the original. He talks about every conspiracy theory that's been brought up about the moon landing. And he explains why, he really does explain, he gives the answers. Let me say that. It'll be on tomorrow, of course. Yes, thanks, Johnny. So you really should check that out and see all those conspiracy theories about that. And, well, it is definitely a very, very sad day. And you know what? The computing power that they had was less than an iPhone. Less computing power than what
you... No, way less.
Yeah, way less than what you'd have in an iPhone.
Yeah, it was something like 8 megahertz. It was something.
Yeah, I mean, and they managed to land on that. I mean, with the technology that they had at the time, it was a really amazing thing. They had, I mean, there was, I think, less than 10% chance that they were going to get off the moon. And
and they got off.
They did. It was amazing. And they had prepared a news article saying how Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong did not make it off the moon. I watched a lot of documentaries about Apollo 11, and it was amazing that they landed on the moon the first time they tried. Or was it the first time they tried? No, they tried
unless
in
there
a was previous...
10 missions before that failed.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah. But first attempt on the Apollo 11 thing. They got it right.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Mike Collins doesn't really get much credit for it. I mean, it's really Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, but yeah. And they were,
Michael Collins did a lot.
Yeah, Mike Collins was the pilot, and he flew it, and unfortunately he didn't get to go down on the moon because he had to fly. But he was there as well. It was a 3-man crew.
And this was the Michael Collins that wasn't Irish.
Yeah, he was the American. He was Mike Collins. Yeah.
Collins. He wasn't the Irish guy who was against De Valera.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, it was very, it was a very sad day. So, well, on that sad note, we end the show. And thank you, Dara, for joining us on this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly.
May you have a sad day.
Sorry?
Just joking. No, because we ended the show on a sad note.
Okay, well, we better end it on a happy note. Dara Coughlin, you're here. So, Dara, thank you very much for joining me for this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. And you can follow Dara on Twitter at Talks, or not Talks About Tech, That Bored Guy IRL on Twitter. Isn't that right?
Mm, yep.
And anything else you're on? You're on Google Plus, aren't you?
I am on Google Plus, but I wouldn't recommend following me there because I do nothing on it. Like, there's nothing. I haven't posted there in about a month or two.
Right,
probably
right.
More actually.
Right. Well, thank you, Dara, for joining us for this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. You can follow me on Twitter at Talks About Tech. That's why I said Talks About Tech for Dara. Sorry, Dara.
That board guy, IRL.
Yeah, that's Dara. And you can follow me on Google Plus. Add me to your circles at Michael McAndrew on Google Plus. And you can watch this show live every Sunday at 8:30. We record live at talksabouttech.com. So you should really watch live because we have a chat room. You can, we always have people in the chat room talking, so you can join in the conversation. You can talk to us if you have something that you want to contribute to the show. So you should really watch live. It's good fun. And you should really check out our other show, our other shows, Space News Today that we talked about, and Midweek Tech. Midweek Tech is recorded live every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. And we do that with Ty Wagstaff. and we discuss a different tech topic every week. So check that out as well. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching or listening to this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. And until next time.
May have a brilliant week.
Yes.